Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Tonight is the night that the Lord is still available. And tonight we give thanks to God for the blessing that he has bestowed upon us. And we just know that God is a great God. Tonight I want to thank all of the listeners, all of the participants in KESK Radio Ministry. I would ask you to look to what we're doing, because God is still good. Here is H of H. H to H. Hello there. How are you tonight?
Doing just fine. Doing just fine.
Well, I want to tell you, we got things lined up. God is so good. I'm waiting to hear you on the line. I'm waiting to hear what God got to say to you, through you, by you, and for you. And those who love you, shalom.
Amen. Good evening.
This
is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart on KASK Radio. I just wanted to say good evening tonight for such a blessed day, and we are so ready to get started with the program tonight. We have an awesome topic concerning the will of God, concerning those who are called according to his purpose. And I just wanted to say hallelujah, glory to God, and thank you for your faithfulness in listening to the program tonight. Mission
Amen.
From the Heart is a blessing to me. I'm your host for tonight, Carnita Smith, and I just want to say thank you to those who have tuned in tonight to receive a nugget, to receive a blessing from the Lord concerning our topic tonight. We have got an exciting topic tonight, and I tell you, it's amazing on how God reveals the things in our lives that cause us to not feel comfortable. And this topic tonight should not make you feel comfortable concerning lust. And I tell you, I just wanted to express tonight that lust starts in the head and not only in the bed. And I just thought that was a dynamic word to spread to those who are listening tonight, that lust starts in the head and not only in the bed. And I pulled that from our scripture tonight that we are going to look at, and not only this scripture, but so many other scriptures. So please don't hesitate to call in and be a guest of mine tonight on the program. I just ask to do one thing. Our program lasts from 8 to 9 tonight, and if you do want to be a guest of mine on the program, just for the purposes of others listening and sharing with me tonight, just mute your phone, and then when you are ready to chime in, then unmute your phone, and we can talk about the good news of Jesus Christ concerning our topic tonight. And that is lust. Lust starts in the head, not only in the bed. And we're just going to stay on that particular topic, that particular issue. I know so many of us struggle with that issue of lust. And God has an answer for us concerning that particular topic. Or should
Amen.
I say concerning that particular struggle. The answer we will have as we move through this particular struggle called lust. And I tell you, it blessed my soul for the Lord to show me those areas concerning myself and so many others that struggle with this area. Now, let's look at the scripture. And again, those who want to be a part of the host's guest, please chime in when asked, but I just ask this one thing, and that is just put your phone on mute, and then when you are ready to share or a personal testimony concerning this struggle or this area in your life that God has revealed was a struggle to you, then I will give you that moment to chime in, and you can unmute your phone and then we can talk about that from one heart to the other. Now, if you do have your Bibles or your tablets or your cell phones, look at me tonight in Matthew chapter 5. And we're familiar with this area of the Bible. Matthew chapter 5 talks about the attitude. But I want to look at a few verses in particular. And for those who take notes, note this in your heart or note this on paper, however you want to note it. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, verse 28, verse 29, verse 30 and 31. So we're looking at Matthew 5, 27 through 31. And this is how it reads. And this is out of the King James translation. Matthew 5, 27. Ye heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman or a man to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast in hell. Verse 30, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And verse 31 says, hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorce. Now, there's quite a few things going on in this passage, but my focus point is lust, and that is the main concern in these particular verses, and it speaks about that in the second verse, Matthew 22. Now, let's break this thing down. And for those who want to speak with the host tonight, don't hesitate to chime in as you listen to this particular passage. Now, I read it from the King James translation, and I would like to read it from a different translation that it would make even more sense to us for the benefit of sharing the gospel, and then for the benefit of not anyone going away confused concerning this particular area of lust that starts in the head and not only in the bed. Now, that was King James translation. Let's listen to it from the contemporary English translation. And there are other translations, and you can look through those different translations in your own personal study time. But please make note of the passage, Matthew 5, verses 27 through 21. Now, listen to what it says in the contemporary English translation. And I love to go through the Gospels and go through the Word of God in different translations because it deepens my understanding from one translation to the other. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's listen to it in the contemporary English translation. And it says this in verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 27. You know the commandment that the scripture is talking about is the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, this is what it says. You know the commandment which says, be faithful in marriage. But I tell you that if you look at another woman and want her, or we can say lust for her, you are already unfaithful in your thoughts. Now, remember I said lust starts in the head, not only in the bed. And it says, but I tell you that if you look at another woman and want her, you are already unfaithful in your thoughts. Verse 29, it says in the Contemporary English Translation, if your right eye causes you to sin, poke it out and throw it away. It is better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to end up in hell. Verse 30, if your right hand causes you to sin, chop it off and throw it away. It is better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Verse 31, you have been taught that a man who divorces his wife must write out divorce papers for her. Now, I wanted to back it up to verse 27 through 30. Now, when we start lusting for things, the dictionary tells us what lust means. Lust is defined in two ways, and this is what it says. Lust is intense or unrestrained, coming from Webster, unrestrained sexual craving. Now, that's the Webster definition of lust, intense or unrestrained sexual craving. And the second definition states an overwhelming desire or craving. Now, I like to think that the first definition is what the world teaches us concerning the word lust. But the second definition, an overwhelming desire or craving, seems to solidify what the scriptures teach us about lust. Sometimes it's very interesting about the way the dictionary has placed the primary definition as what society says lust is. And I beg to differ, just as I said, with that, because I believe that the secondary definition should be the primary definition. And again, an overwhelming desire or craving. That's what lust is. Somehow or another, the world tells us, shows us, teaches us that lust seems to have to always be associated with sex. And I disagree with that. But those who want to chime in, please don't hesitate to chime in and talk with me about lust that starts in the head, not only in the bed. But again, the definition defines lust as an overwhelming desire or craving. Now, when we crave for something or we desire something, that's lust. And that something can be anything. So what are some things that we lust after? And I'm just going to use that word lust because that's what the world associates with sex. But when we look at the definition of lust, lust is a strong desire or a intense strong craving. And some of the things that we lust after, such as material things. We like to drive cars.
Have a caller.
We love to live in nice, decorated homes. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with any of that. But it goes even deeper than that. It goes into our bedrooms, yes. And it goes into our workplace, yes. And it even goes deeper than that. It goes right into the family when we lust after those things that we want more than something else. So if you have a share moment, a scripture, or a personal experience where lust seemed to almost caused you to be in some sort of a love triangle or in some sort of a devastation, please don't hesitate to chime in at this moment. The line is open for any thought, a scripture, a verse concerning lust that starts in the head, not only in the bed. And Matthew 5 talks about in the 28th verse in particular is the one that I like to focus on, but I tell you that if you already look at a woman and want her, you already unfaithfully in your thoughts. So when we think about the things that we want, the things that we crave, the things that we desire, not only sex, but material things, attention, prestige, things that we crave, food is something that people think is insignificant, but it can become a lust, a desire, a strong crave for food, something as simple as food. So the lines are open. If there's anyone listening tonight, please don't hesitate. This is not a time to hesitate. This is a time to share and help somebody else that's listening tonight that wants to know more about what the scriptures say concerning lust. This is a struggle in a lot of
people. I have a scripture.
Yes, yeah. Ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay.
And this is
Galatians 5:16 in the King James Version. It says, this I say.
Go right ahead. And that's Galatians 5. I think we may have lost her.
Hello?
Okay, now I can hear you. So I don't know. I pushed one, like you said, but I can hear it saying mute and unmute, so I'm not for sure who's doing
that.
You. But
Hear you. Go right ahead and share the verse.
Okay, it's Galatians 5:16 in the King James Version. It says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I like that verse because it covers everything, not just sex. It could be food. Some people have shopping lust, shoe fetishes. It just covers everything because it says the lust of the flesh.
Amen. Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, I have a bunch of scriptures, so you just let me know when you want me to stop because I have them all here.
Okay,
I believe
that will help somebody to better understand that if you are guided by the Spirit, you won't obey your fleshly desires.
Correct.
And that is so true because the question is, what are some things that we lust after? Now, again, just as the sister said in Galatians 5:16, I hope this helps somebody because we can lust after shopping, We can lust after food. We can lust after those things that please the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as though the world has shown us very well that all of the bling, diamonds, jewelry, even our hair and shoes, clothing, so many things in this world brings about lust in us because we set our eyes upon it. It's become engraved in our mind, and then from the mind it moves down into the heart, and then it becomes a taste in the mouth. You can lust after something and taste it so bad that you want it and you would do anything to get it.
Yeah, come
and
on.
So I thank you so much. Anyone else out there, hold the line.
I have a scripture.
Okay, and
hello?
Who is this?
Charlotte.
Thank you for calling, Charlotte. Go right ahead.
Romans 13:14. It says,
mm-hmm.
But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
And that's very good. Now, again, thank you for sharing that scripture. Do you want to say something about that scripture, Charlotte?
Well, if you do feel like, you know, well, you're walking around the, say you're in the mall. You're in a mall and you're walking around and you're looking at people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about Jesus, then you won't be thinking about, oh, I like that guy. He's so handsome. I want to be with him. If you put Jesus on your mind first, then you will not have those desires in your head. You will be thinking about Jesus instead of thinking about what that man that you saw in the, you know, looks like, thinking about what it would be like to be with that man in the mall. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Jesus, it does say that, let the Lord Jesus Christ be as near to you as the clothes you wear. Then
right.
You won't try to satisfy your selfish desires. So,
mm-hmm.
So what chapter 13, verse 14 is telling us is that we are to clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ.
Right.
And then you won't try to satisfy your selfish desires, such as...
Right, you won't be tempted. You won't be tempted.
Yes, as Charlotte has said. Thank you so much, Charlotte, for sharing that beautiful verse in Romans 13 and 14. So we have talked about Galatians 5 and 16 and how we are to be in the Spirit, and then we've talked about Romans 13 and 14, verse 14, where it states that we are to clothe ourselves clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. Now, these things, the things that we lust after, a man, clothing, a woman, to be, we lust after it and crave after it so much that it becomes our main thought. Even as much as wanting children, it becomes our main thought. Even as much as wanting to be married, it becomes our main thought. And so many of us want to be married nowadays. And we want to have the white picket fence, if you will, the home with the two cars in the drive. We want to live like the Joneses. We see that they have this, so we do everything in our strength to try to get that. All of this has been entertained in our mind. Then we start acting on these lustful desires. Does anybody else have a verse or a share or a personal experience where the Lord has delivered them from those mindsets? Please don't hesitate to chime in. This is the opportunity to do that at this moment. Okay, we're going to move on. So now we've looked at some things that we identify.
Can I read James 1 and 15? I'm sorry, I was trying to talk, but I was muted. I just
no,
wanted
go
to
right
read.
Ahead.
Okay.
What is the verse?
James,
what is?
It's James verse 1 and the chapter 15 verse. Chapter 1, 15 verse.
Go right ahead.
It reads, then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death.
One more time for those who may have not heard or missed that. Read it one more time. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It says, then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death.
Yes. And that is another wonderful nugget that we need to hold on to concerning these areas in our lives that cause us to sin. And listen to what she said. Our desires make us sin. Our fleshly desires, our desires in our mind make us sin. And when sin is finished with us, when sin is finished with us, it leaves us dead. It leaves us dead. So that is a wonderful
example. You said the right examples, and the reason I picked that scripture is because when I was say, a baby Christian, I had different Hispanic friends, and maybe I shouldn't say nationality, but that's how I met a guy. He was called a fortune teller. Now I know that they're warlocks. A man is a warlock, a female is a witch. And so they would always sometimes tell us things, and that's because they operate in familiar spirits. They don't know everything, but it's like the more you go or the more I will go, the more I wanted to go. And I would say to myself, I don't think this is right. I shouldn't go, but it's like I couldn't stop. It's like once I started, I just wanted to go because he was giving me bits and pieces of little information. Well, one time I went to go see him, and then right afterwards I got shot. Now, the bullet's still in my right shoulder, and I was also pregnant at the time, but God bless me, my baby lived and I lived. But I say this to say this. He could know everything, but he didn't tell me I was getting ready to get shot, did he? He didn't tell me I was getting ready to die, huh? I almost died. And so after then, I just cut it off. I never went back again because I said the Lord was giving me a warning that if I want to know something, wait on him or walk by faith, because faith is the only way to please him. So I should have walked by faith instead of wanting to feed my flesh and have him tell me things in the midst I almost die. So that's why I read that scripture. And I'll be quiet now. You can mute me, whoever's muting, so I won't
know. No. That is a wonderful, wonderful, thank you for sharing your that experience and that eye awakening, and you know, God will allow us to muddle through some things in order for us to get our attention and for us to be turning our attention toward him, because we look for the wrong things and the thoughts entertain in our minds, and we lose, we die, and
yes, we serve a jealous God.
Absolutely. So I just thank you for sharing, and if you all can mute your phones, and is there anyone else who would like to share a personal experience or a verse? And then if not, then we're going to move right along in the program. And please don't hesitate, because there's somebody out there who needs to know that they are not lusting in the right way. Now, there is a way that we are to lust. There is good lust and bad lust. And I do want to reveal this to those who are listening. So if you want to share another personal moment, please don't hesitate. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of with what you need to be, for your eyes to be open to the truth. And that is the work of the enemy, for us to waddle in our lustful thoughts, for us to die. He wants us to die in lust. And this is not God's way. And the kind of lust is the bad lust. He does not want us revealed to the good lust. So please do not hesitate to chime in and unmute your phone, and I will acknowledge you, and you will have an opportunity to share a verse to help somebody.
I've got another verse here, Carnita.
Who is this?
This is Charlotte.
Yes, go right ahead, Charlotte.
1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
And that just puts it very plain. And that was what was that? 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. 9-11. And I hope that you take these scriptures down for your benefit. That you would go back through these verses and just allow the Lord to minister to your heart as you read through these passages. And this is to help you conquer, help you to overcome this struggle called lust. And we are here to minister to your heart, minister to your soul, that the mind would not be conformed to the ways of this lustful desire, this strong craving, this intensity or overwhelming desire called lust. And another word for it is craving. They both mean the same thing. But they start in the mind, and then it moves its way down to the heart. And then it starts walking. It starts breathing. It starts becoming a dead, living product in our lives. Just as the sister shared about her going to mediums to learn about different things that she thought might help her until she came to herself, just like the prodigal son. It was when we come to ourselves and realize that this is not the way that the Lord has instructed me to go. So we turn from our wicked ways. We deny our flesh daily. We do not feed the flesh. We starve the flesh. Literally, starve the flesh. So, why do our thoughts cause us to lust? Why do we have thoughts that cause us to lust? And I want to open up the lines to that question. Why do we lust? Why do we entertain thoughts of lust? And I know Charlotte is on the line, and I know that Monique is on the line, and I appreciate them calling in and being a part of the program tonight. But is there anyone else who may want to share a moment or a thought or even a verse that helps us to better understand or give us a deeper understanding as to why do we have thoughts that cause us to lust after these things that will eventually lead to death? And I know Scripture tells us to be not conformed to the ways of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I like to think that our thoughts of lust or craving or desire in a bad way is because of our sin nature. And that sinful nature feeds off of things that it wants. It craves it, and it will cause us to do the things that are contrary to what the Scriptures teach us. Any thoughts on that? The lines are open for anyone to chime in and want to talk with me or help someone to better understand why does their mind go into a lustful thought, and help them with a scripture or a verse that can help them not entertain thoughts of lust that will lead to death. Now we've talked about Galatians 5 and 16, Romans 13 and 14, clothe ourselves in Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Very good verses. And then James chapter 1, verse 15. I hope you're taking notes of these verses because they will help you to turn from those wicked ways. So is there any thoughts or questions or comments at this time or a verse share or a personal experience? The line is open for you to comment at this time. Why do our thoughts cause us to lust? Okay, we're going to move right on down. Now, as the Lord prompts you, don't speak, because there's someone who needs to hear from you. Someone listening on the line. This program reaches so many people across the world. This is an internet-based program, so we don't know who may need to hear from the Lord through you. So I ask you with all sincerity to not allow someone to leave this program tonight not hearing from the Lord. And you could be that very vessel that God wants to use in order to help some brother or sister out there who's seriously struggling with this issue of lust. So, again, please chime in or don't hesitate. Okay, we're going to move on with the program. And it says, and I've asked, why do our thoughts cause us to lust? Now, lust starts in the head, not only in the bed. And I keep reiterating that because it starts in the mind. And it moves from the head down to the heart. And then it kickstarts the soul. And once the soul starts triggering thoughts, emotions, and then it causes us to have a will to want to act on those lust thoughts. And just as we read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, it indicated that when you have just merely looked at a woman, and I'm going to use woman, but it can be man, but when you have looked at them with a thought, then you've already committed the sin. So this is a serious matter that we should not take lightly.
Okay, well, I
thought. Yes, go right ahead.
This is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for commenting. Go right ahead, Tracy.
That question came up. The first one of two verses came to me was Romans 8:7.
Yes,
which says that the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That would also include lust. Our mind is carnal. It's contrary. Mm-hmm. It's contrary to the will of God. The flesh or our desires wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh.
Isaiah, which chapter?
The first chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5 says the whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have been closed or bound up. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. So the Word of God says, you know, outside of the Holy Spirit, our entire being, we're sick. You know, we're dead in trespasses and sins. And so lust is just...
I'm sorry, say that again, Tracy.
They're going to end the program and bring it. They're going to end the program and redo it because they found a technical difficulty. So have everybody just on the line, okay?
Okay.
You got
okay.
It? Are they going to end the episode? Call back in.
Okay.
I got most of the numbers.
Okay. Do you want me to call back in, Dr. Hunter?
Yeah. They want to end this episode because something's been going on. I don't know about it. They haven't found out who's doing it. So let me go through this episode.
Okay, and call back in.